Making a difference in worship. Our Christmas series this year. Last week we looked at the Magi and we talked about the multiple points in their story where their attitudes and actions can inspire us to a deeper meaning in our worship. And hopefully this week we did spend some time storing up some treasures in our treasure box and the treasure box of our heart to bring here to offer as worship to God. Today we're looking at the shepherds, as I shared a minute ago. Let's go back to that passage of scripture in Luke chapter 2, the Christmas passage, and we're getting there a little early. We've got maybe a little different something planned for Christmas Day. So Luke chapter 2, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. When was the last time the glory of the Lord had that effect on us? Let's start right off the bat taking some notes. We're going to be talking about the attitude and actions of worship today and some inspiration from these shepherds in the story here. So worship attitude. The glory of the Lord should cause us to stand in awe. This is a feeling of fear and amazement combined, a feeling of awe, to take a moment and realize that we stand in God's presence, to have him come and live inside of us. So not only do we stand in his presence in times of prayer, times of worship, either personal or corporate, but he comes and he lives inside of us. And with that being the truth, then we should be in just a constant state of awe because he's always with us. He's always inside. Isn't that what Jesus said? I'll be with you always, even to the very end of the age. And he's living inside of us. God inside of us. I want to just grab that for a moment. And we've heard it. We should stand in just a constant state of awe, but I'm not convinced that that's always the case. I know for myself, I've kind of gotten used to the Holy Spirit living in me. And that sounds awful strange saying, but I think there's a lot of truth in that. He's a lot like Santa Claus. He knows when I've been naughty and nice. But unlike Santa Claus, he doesn't have to investigate. He knows because he lives there. He's lived with me. He has witnessed firsthand the best of the best that no one else sees. Yes, and the worst of the worst that no one else sees. I just wonder if I'm alone. I mean, that maybe some of you are in that same boat, that we've just grown accustomed to God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. And we miss that feeling of awe that we should just live in constantly. It's God's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Perfect. Without errors. And he lives inside of me and he sees me making some of the worst decisions that I make and some of the more private thoughts that I have. And he sees all of that. These shepherds, when they were surrounded by the glory of the Lord, they trembled in fear. And it makes me wonder, They were in the midst of angels. We have God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. And if we're not trembling in fear, if we're not in a state of awe, we might be missing something there of the reality of what's happening. And we talked last week about that wow experience. And this is yet another wow experience. I think our attitude in worship would be quite a bit different if the reality of God's glory living inside of us was rediscovered today and we were just like, wow. And wow in so many different ways. Wow in an amazing, just how powerful is the presence that lives inside of me. That kind of wow, that kind of standing in awe. And also the same kind of wow, though, that's a very humbling wow, that God lives inside of me and even sees the worst of the worst. And then when we sing songs of his power, then it wouldn't be just a thought that we visit when we come to a worship experience on a Sunday morning, but it would reflect an attitude of lifestyle, because this reality hits us and doesn't leave us, that he lives inside of us and that power is there. And when we sing, it's not a reminder, it's a reflection of what we've been reminded of day in and day out through the week. That we're just in a constant state of awe when we sing songs of his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness and his love, that wouldn't just be, you know, a catchy tune that we'd walk away humming or whistling through the day, but that those songs would reflect a feeling of awe that we've had all week and just the amazement that God has forgiven me. God has had grace enough to cover all of my sins. Man, that's amazing. The shepherds were surrounded by the glory of the Lord and they trembled with fear. We should be in a constant state of awe. Luke continues to record this story. He says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. And this has happened a few different times in this story already, as angels have appeared to different people who have been afraid in the birth narrative of Jesus. And just like the other times, the angel here says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Everyone say those last three words with me there. All the people. All. I'm just at that nice middle point, but some of the illustrations that pop in my head, I just can't use with the next service because they don't always get them. You guys will remember those commercials? A-L-L? Remember a little kid? No? Yes? Get some head nods? No? All detergent? You don't remember the little kid and the little kid? A-L-L. What was that spell? It's all. That was their thing there through, I guess, the 80s. All people. Let's write that down. We should remember that God... Actually, I skipped reading the rest of that. So, angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And we got one more verse before we take a note. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. We talked about that during communion. So let's write this down. We should remember that our God brings good news of great joy for all people. A-L-L. All people. God is to be feared. We should be in a constant state of awe, but we should also remember that God has the good in mind for us. He always has good in mind for us. He always wants the best for us. And so when we do stand in times of trembling and fear and in awe that God knows me, and I mean, he knows me, he still has the best in mind for me. He still wants the best. Don't fear, the angel said. I have good news that will bring great joy to all people. And we need to remember that God brings good news of great joy for all people. Look who he invited to Jesus' birthday party first. Who did he invite? Shepherds. The first outsiders outside of Mary and Joseph and whatever animals were present there that were wondering, that's strange food. That's what a manger was. It's where you put the animal's food. He invited the lowly shepherds to Jesus' birthday party. Those were the first guests that were invited, that were brought in. Not royalty, not influential politicians. You know, we talked about the Magi last week, and we're kind of doing this a little reverse. We'll get even more intimate next week. But next week we're still in this story. It's the week after. It's Christmas morning that we'll be zeroing in on Mary and the time there. But last week with the Magi, they were probably about 2 years after Jesus had been born. He was a toddler at that time, not an infant. The Greek word there signifies a difference in his age. And of course, the context of that story signifies. But here we have the shepherds, the first that were invited, not royalty, not influential politicians, not religious zealots, not educated scholars. No, it was shepherds. Now, we get nice little warm fuzzies when we hear the word shepherd because of all the biblical references to the shepherd and the good shepherd and the example of a shepherd and how they care for their sheep. And they did lots of good things there when it came to that. And there's a lot of good illustrations about how shepherds care for their sheep. We get a picture of a shepherd, you know, carrying a little lamb around his neck and caring and dignified. But shepherds were not always looked at in the good light in the first century. In fact, there are places where they are included in the same group of people as sailors and as greedy marketplace. Where's the word that I just completely lost in my head? Salesman. So this is a big deal that shepherds were the first to receive an invite from God. Some commentators don't believe that they were as bad as some of the historians paint them to be, but there are some historians that have shared these very negative views of what a shepherd would have brought to mind. Maybe not as bad as the sinners and tax collectors, but they definitely weren't the nice, rosy, you know, the dignified people of society. So whichever the scenario, whether it's, you know, over here, just the plain everyday Joe, average Joe shepherd, or the dregs of society shepherd, the sons of anarchy shepherds, the proclamation of the angel that Jesus has come for all people was immediately displayed by inviting shepherds. Jesus came for all people, and the first to receive an invite, shepherds. I mean what I say, God is sharing there. Here, Jesus has come for all people, and the first invites. Such a great introduction to the ministry of Jesus. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever situation you're in, whatever past you have, God has good news of great joy for all the people. First and foremost, the gift of his son for all of us. And that's more than enough to cause gratitude. But those of us who know God and know anything really about God, you've realized and you've picked up through the years that's his pattern, isn't it? It didn't just stop with Jesus. God just gives great things. I mean, James talks about how every good and perfect gift is from above. Jesus himself is talking about how we who are evil, how we know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God brings good news of great joy in the manger. He brings good news of great joy on the cross and through the empty grave. But he also brings good news of great joy in the little personalized gifts that he blesses us with. Sometimes something as big as a first grandchild. Other times, it's just the blessing of the person in front of you paying for your lunch at a drive-thru unexpectedly. You know, God comes to earth. Jesus, God incarnate. And the first to receive an invitation were shepherds. None of us here should feel like we would be excluded or that we would be on the outside of any of God's blessings. And I love how he just introduces this right off. No one needs to feel so lowly that they're outside of my blessings. Look, I want to invite shepherds. We're all invited. All of us. Come and see what God has given you. Come and worship. Come and let this attitude shape our worship. This understanding that God is something to be feared, something to cause great awe, and in a constant state of awe, but He's always got good things for us. He's always offering those blessings, and they're for all people. And so we have an attitude of gratitude about all things. Take a moment. I found a video or saw videos past week, and I'll share that with you here just for a moment. It was a video from a church in South Carolina they put together, and I just thought that was so nice. We need to be grateful for every little thing and know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. He started with His Son, and then He just hasn't stopped, has He? And that should affect our attitude towards worship. Luke continues, and the angels say to the shepherd, the angel says to the shepherds, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Jesus in a manger reminds us that good news of great joy can come from unexpected sources when God is involved. The shepherds were unexpected guests, but a baby in a manger is an unexpected source. But this also is God's pattern, isn't it? The unexpected Messiah was so much more than that. Savior, Lord. And this unexpected Messiah came in a very unexpected way, a virgin, unwed mother, born and placed in an animal's feeding trough because there was no room for them in the inn. How many other times have we experienced and seen the blessings of God, and we've seen them come from unexpected sources? Unexpected places. And in this Christmas, as we're thinking, and we see pictures of the manger, we see things of the birth story of Jesus, I want us to be reminded that that's a pattern of God's also, that we receive blessings and gifts from so many unexpected places. And so many, when God's involved, that's just the way it happens. And that's some extra little things we can store up in the treasure box of our heart for next week as we come into worship. To be reminded of all the unexpected places that God has dropped blessings in our life. Different people He's used. Different situations He's used. And you might have some come to mind now, but I guarantee you through the week, as little memories will be drawn from hearing this and then seeing those different things, you'll go, "Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot about that." Just store them up in the treasure box of your heart and bring them back Sunday. And thank God all over again for them. I wonder how many of these blessings that we miss out on because we don't take action, because we think it's an unexpected source, because we forget that God works this way often. I mean, what if the shepherds would have said to themselves, "Really? Messiah, the Messiah, a Savior even? What even is that? Lord?" And we're going to find Him where? In a manger? No. That's just a little too far-fetched. And then they went back to watching their sheep. But they don't. They don't at all. Here's what they say. Let's go see that thing. Here's what they say. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." Everyone say, "See this thing." Let's see this thing. Let's see this thing. Let's just have at least a little bit of curiosity. If it's not faith, at least some curiosity in what God is doing. Let's see this thing. Let's see this. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger, just as the angel had shared. Worship involves an attitude, but it also involves action. So as we move on to this half of the section here, worship, action. You may miss the good news of great joy if you don't have faith or even the curiosity to look for it. And I'm not talking about just the good news of Jesus. Definitely we would miss that if we didn't take time to look into that. Every one of us had a time and a period where we said, you know what? Let's see this thing that people were talking about. Let's see what the gospel is about. Let's see what this Jesus is all about. And that curiosity that led to faith, that led us to a relationship with God through Jesus. But that is not just a pattern of a one-time deal in our life. That's a pattern of many things where God leads us to different areas. And if we don't have the faith or even just the curiosity to say, let's see that. Let's see that thing. Whatever that thing is. And if we would walk away, as the shepherds very well could have, and say, no, that's just unreal. That just doesn't make sense. Why would that come from, why would God send the Savior, Messiah, Lord, and put him in a manger? How many times do we miss God's blessings because we think, it wouldn't come through that person. It wouldn't come that way. How many times have we missed the opportunity to be able to serve someone else and bless someone else? Because we've missed out on that. We need faith, or at least the curiosity, to look for God's good news of great joy. Worship involves action. It involves personally engaging in the moment God has provided. We have to invest action to see the blessing. The shepherds were visited by angels, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And we might not get communication that is that bold, though sometimes it is very bold when God leads us and moves us. Sometimes God's leading is a lot more subtle. Sometimes it's more of a whisper, as he approached Elijah with. How many times do we just let that go and say, well, I think that was just my imagination. There's no way that could have been the Lord. Why would he ask me to do this? Or why would he ask me to go here or do that? And we do nothing about it. I mean, worshiping God means acting on the times when we feel his Holy Spirit moving in us. And the more we get to know his voice, the more we're going to recognize his voice. And we can provide a huge blessing for others, or who knows, maybe at the other end of your faith, maybe at the other end of your curiosity is a blessing waiting for you. Whatever that thing is, I want to encourage you this week. Have the curiosity. Have the faith to say, let's go see this thing. Let's go see what God has in store. Let's go see what God is nudging me to, what God is moving me to. See, after seeing Jesus as the angels had said they would see him, the shepherds, this is what happens, verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. We know this, but let's write it down because it's right here from the text. We bring glory to God by sharing our God experiences with others. We bring glory to God by sharing our God experiences with others. Those who heard the story from the shepherds, they were amazed. Why don't we share more of our God experiences with others? And if we're honest, are we ashamed? Do we feel like they're going to think we're cuckoo? We're a little off? And some of us who are already seen that way, then it just doesn't matter at that point. There's nothing to lose. Do we not share because we are worried about what people will think about us? And if that's the case, then do we forget that sharing those stories is worship? Sharing those stories, it brings glory to God. And isn't worship bringing glory to God? Isn't that what that is? How often do we neglect a time of worship where we could worship through action, worship by sharing God experiences in our life because we're worried about what people will think of us or how they'll respond or how they'll react? Those stories bring glory to God. It brought glory to God through the way he acted in your life, and it'll bring glory to God when you share it. And then the possibility that the person you're sharing with may be amazed. I mean, how do we know how they're going to react? How do we know how they're going to respond? I think a lot of times we automatically just go to the negative and say, well, they probably don't care. They're not going to think this is exciting, or they're not going to be as jazzed about this as I am. Or how do you know? Why are you assuming their emotions for them? Why are you telling them what they're going to think and feel about what story God has acted in your life without even giving them the chance to respond and react in their own way? That's kind of pompous, if we're honest there. It's pretty arrogant of me to think that I know someone well enough to know how they're going to respond, how they're going to react. And I'm completely neglecting the supernatural presence in that, and the understanding we were talking about last week, how God draws people to Jesus. Maybe God is drawing that person to Jesus, and they are so ready. Maybe last week they wouldn't have been ready for a God experience story, and maybe they would have reacted the way that you'd think they would react, but maybe this week is different, and you don't know it because God's been working with them internally. Share your God experience stories with people. That could turn out that your willingness to share that story could result in someone else being amazed by God's activity in your life. But they're not going to know about God's activity unless you're active in sharing it. Unless you're active in sharing. The shepherds shared and others were amazed. And I think that should inspire us. I mean, once again, we go back to shepherds. You know, a lot of times we feel like, well, I can't share because I'm nobody special. I don't have a degree, or I don't have this, or I've only been a Christian this long, or whatever. These are shepherds. Once again, another great use of this group of people that God targets in this very first invitation. Not only were they invited to see Jesus, but they were also invited to share. And they had no credentials. They didn't even know what a Savior was fully. They probably did not understand the concept of Lord in the way that we understand the concept of Lord. They're shepherds. Maybe they didn't even understand the Messiah as much as like a Jewish scholar would have. But what did they do? They shared what happened. They shared their God experience story. That doesn't even take intelligence. That just takes the ability to recall something that happened in your life. That doesn't take study. It doesn't take some social standing. It doesn't take some educational standing. It's just you taking an experience that God gave to you and just sharing it. Shepherds can do it. We can do it. And that should inspire us this week. And then we see that the shepherds' worship continued into their daily lives. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Worship continues as we return to our daily routine. Worship continues as we return to our daily routine. Making a difference in our worship, it involves an attitude of worship, a feeling, an attitude that we are in the presence of God always, and therefore we should be in a constant state of awe. As we are in the presence of the glory of the Lord, we should remember that God brings good news of great joy to all people, for all people. It's not limited. You're not outside of that, and other people around you, they're not outside of that either. That should temper our attitude in worship. And that God's good news can come from unexpected sources. I hope that none of us look at a situation after today and say, nah. Explore them all. Who knows? Who knows what's at the end of that unexpected scenario, unexpected situation, that unexpected source? The shepherds were told to go to a feeding trough where there would be a baby laying. I mean, that by itself would just be strange enough. But that baby was the Messiah, that he was the Savior, that he was Jesus Lord. So don't be afraid to seek out, to have a little curiosity, to have even more faith, and to venture out into the unexpected places where God leads you. And that leads to our worship action, that we need faith, we need curiosity to look into that thing, to look for that thing, to look for God's good news of great joy around us. And sometimes we don't see it because we don't look for it. And it's all around us. Worship takes action, that when we share our God stories, that brings glory to God and that can amaze other people. But that involves action. And the action of worship continues as we return to our daily routine.